Hi, this is Linnea, and you need to listen to the podcast, Monsters, Madness, and Magic.
All right, folks, welcome to the Monsters, Madness, and Magic podcast. I'm your host, Justin, here with a quick word before we dive in. Now, you'll notice there is no video this episode, and it is a bit shorter than our usual episodes. That is because Linnea is in the middle of traveling, and her connection was not that great. We did the interview via phone, with me recording our audio on Zoom. With that being said, I think you'll enjoy this episode with Linnea as we chat about Night of the Demons, Dancing in Graveyards, Pets, Charles Band, Lloyd Kaufman, and more. As always, thank you all for listening out there. And if you'd like to help the show grow, please leave us a review wherever you're listening to the podcast. Anyway, without further ado, here you go.
Greetings, boils and ghouls. This is your comrade, the Crypt Keeper here, reporting dead from the Sanctuary of the Strange. Tonight's macabre myth is a fright-filled feature, one overflowing with monsters, madness, and magic.
Okay, Linnea, take us back in time. You're a youngster. Were you a book reader, fort builder, troublemaker, or all of the above?
All of the above.
That's my favorite answer.
Yes, of course. Did it all. A chameleon.
So when you do think back to maybe books you grew up on, did you have any favorite authors or a genre or something like that?
Not really. I did like the scary books, though, of course. Well, when I was younger, Nancy Drew and all that, I really liked that.
So did you grow up in the L.A. area where you just an L.A. kid?
Oh, no. I was a Iowa kid. Country, yeah. Well, I was born in the city, but I wanted to be in the country.
Would you say that either your parents were they involved with the business at all or artistically inclined? Do you think that's where your roots come from?
No, not at all. My dad was a chiropractor, psychologist, and my mom was just a homekeeper.
So I wanted to ask you, I know that you love animals, and I have 3 dogs and 7 cats myself. I wanted to ask you.
Oh, I love it.
What was your first pet? What was their name?
My first one was Bo, and it was a poodle.
Bo the poodle.
Yes.
Did you have a lot of pets growing up?
Oh, yeah. You know, like, not as many as I have now, but... Oh, my God. We only had, like, 2 dogs at a time, and okay, then a couple cats. And then frogs and toads and guinea pigs and birds and, you know, the whole gamut.
How many do you have now?
I'm down to 11 dogs and 6 cats.
Oh, man, you're living the dream.
I know. It's a nightmare sometimes, though. Oh, my God.
Are they all yours or are you running like a shelter or a rescue or something like that?
I have a rescue. Like right now, I'm trying to place a Doberman who's a real sweetheart, but she wants to control everyone.
That's no good.
No.
So Linnea, when you're growing up and you think back to formative films and TV shows that you grew up on, what comes to mind?
Twilight Zone, of course, the Saturday Night Creature Feature, Lassie, of course, Mr. Ed. Those were some of my favorites.
What about Old Yeller? That was always a tearjerker when
no,
I was growing up.
That makes me so sad. Yeah. I don't even watch that now.
I can't either. I'm with you.
Or Bambi.
It's funny. No matter how great the movie is, if I know that there's a scene in there that involves maybe an animal's death or something, I'll avoid the whole movie for the rest of my life.
Me too. I'm like, I'm not going to watch that.
Right. It's just not something I could see people get their heads cut off and, you know, watch zombie movies. But, you know, if a dog dies, I'm not cool with it.
No, not at all. I know it was funny. I had like at Fangoria, we had this was years and years ago. I had a contest, win a date with Linnea at the pound, and people would get a dog or cat out of there. And when you're standing in line, the guys were like, oh, I love when Texas Chainsaw Massacre, when the guy gets his head cut off and they put her on the meat hook, and, you know, but they were like, oh, kitty, kitty. You know, they were like really nice to the animals.
Yeah.
They don't like it when the animals get hurt.
Right, exactly. So I know you have a musical background. What sort of records were spinning around the house when you were growing up?
New York Dolls. Let's see, what else? Michael Jackson, Todd Rundgren, Kiss. Those were the main ones. The Monkees, of course.
So where do you fall on the age-old Michael Jackson versus Prince debate?
Oh, I don't know. I like Michael Jackson better.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, just personally.
Yeah, Prince seems like he's always mad or something.
So when did you first pick up an instrument yourself?
I started with piano. I wanted to play piano really bad, and so I had a music teacher come to the house and played piano first. So I was probably 10 when I started piano, but then piano just wasn't my vibe, and so I think I was like 15, one of my dad's patients gave me a guitar, and I really liked it.
Do you still play?
Not as much as I want, no. It's like, unless I'm playing with a band, it's like I have a hard time sitting there just strumming the guitar.
Did you get that itch when you got the guitar to join bands or make your own band?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
This is something I like to ask all performers. Your first time on stage as a performer, did it go off smoothly? Did your pants fall down? Anything wacky happen?
Every time I go on stage with a guitar singing, I'm nervous. It's just anything. It went good. It was better than I thought, because when I was in like all grades of school, I would just like pretend to sing, and I wouldn't because I was too embarrassed. Mm-hmm. So it was like a big thing for me to get up on stage.
Were you a theater or a drama kid or anything like that?
Oh no, I was too shy. There's no way I could do that.
So something I like to ask everyone, just because you never know, is what scared you as a kid?
For some reason, the thought of a peeping Tom, like the thought of like somebody, like you look up and you see someone's face at your window, that scared me.
Did you ever have that happen?
No, thank goodness.
Good.
Yeah.
So ultimately, what was the catalyst that made you pursue acting?
I think when we moved to LA and these girls at the gym I worked at convinced me to try out for like being an extra and stuff like that. It was like little steps at a time, and then I jumped in, you know. It was like, take little steps and then, okay, you know, they convinced me to do it, because it's like when you're in LA, that's, everyone is an actor.
Yeah. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Charlie Band's Fairy Tales in 78 that you consider your first, you know, non-extra role. Is that right?
Yes, because I had some lines in there, not very many, but it was like, to me, I remember I wrote in my diary that I thought I was a star because I got a movie, and it was like so low budget, you know, but to me, it was like a big thing.
Did you meet Charles at all for that shoot? Do you remember having a meeting with him or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, I did, and I thought, wow, this is a real director. I didn't know he'd go on to be, you know, known so well in the low budget field.
Was that just a typical audition and you got the role?
Yeah, I went in and showed my pictures, and they just like, you know, they had me, I think, do something. I'm not even sure what. And then I got the script, and then I'm like, oh my God, I have to be naked. I was like so scared.
Earlier that you didn't really, that you know, you were kind of a shy kid. How did you get over that in front of the camera and kind of conquer that stage fright?
I remember on Fairy Tales, I did like push-ups to get my mind off of it. And, you know, it's like, you know, so I wouldn't sit there and just like drown in my thoughts, you know. It's like I just got out of my body and did it.
Right. That's really all you can do.
Yeah, exactly. Or else you're going to sit there and like, oh my God, oh my God.
So I know you worked with Charles Band and Lloyd Kaufman. Those are two of the biggest names in, you know, B movies. Was there a...
Yes.
Was Lloyd, would you say he was like really hands-on on set?
Well, I only worked with Lloyd as like another actor. I've never worked with him on a film.
Gotcha.
Like, okay. Where he was directing it.
Gotcha.
But Charlie was like, just like close to my age and just was fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you had any contact with him since those days?
Just very few, you know, like at conventions or something like that. And then we did, what was it called? Trophy Head.
Yeah.
So I worked with him then. And that was weird, like so many years later, you know, going back with a different attitude and having a bigger part and not going, oh, I'm a star, you know.
It's weird. You don't think about how many careers that someone like Charles Band has influenced. He's almost like a Roger Corman. Someone, he's touched someone's career in some way.
Yeah, you're right. He has.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I filmed Fairy Tales, he was working with Demi Moore.
You could just go down the line, him and Lloyd. Lloyd has a long list of people that he's put on for the first time or given a chance. Both of those guys.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. That would be a good book.
Yeah. It's funny. I interviewed Lloyd and Charles, and, you know, Charles had good things to say about Lloyd, but when the shoe was on the other Uh-oh. Foot, Lloyd did not have good things to say about Charles. That's all I can say.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. I believe it.
Yeah, and, you know, it was definitely dollar related, so that always comes up.
Oh, yes, of course. But it's not like Lloyd is spending all this money on stuff or people.
Hey, you said a mouthful there, right?
Yeah.
So you're in a number of films from there, Linnea, you know, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Savage Street. But, you know, then Return of the Living Dead comes along in 85. You know, is that fair to say that was the role that sort of catapulted you and then maybe people start noticing you in the streets and whatnot?
Yes, that definitely was like, for some reason, it resonated with so many people, you know, of all walks of life. And people love that film and they love the character. And it really got me going into other projects and on the radar.
So what do you remember about that first audition for Return of the Living Dead? How much did you know about the character going in?
Well, I didn't know much, just that she was a punk rocker. And they had me do the scene where I'm like, do you ever fantasize about being killed? You know, that one?
Yeah.
And then I had to dance, you know, they had to see I could dance. And so it was like a big audition. And I knew that, like, they had cast somebody, but she had gotten pregnant in the interim, you know, because they stopped filming. So I was lucky I got that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you now have that famous graveyard dance with Trash. Was that all you, choreographed by you?
Yes, that was all choreographed by me. They just let me do what I wanted.
Had to be nerve-wracking for you.
It was. It really was. And it's like after being drenched with rain for weeks and, you know, being cold, and I guess it wore me down, so I wasn't so worried about it.
Yeah. Just so tired, you didn't care, just wanted to get it done.
Right. And I was glad it wasn't raining when I did my dance. I was like, oh, good, no rain machine.
So if you just had to guess, you know, I know it was a long time ago, but if you had to guess, how many takes would you say that it took to nail that?
Only a couple from different angles. It wasn't like, do it again, do it again, do it again.
How was Dan O'Bannon as a director?
Crazy. I didn't have any problem with him, but he was like losing his mind, you know, because they were, you know, they had him like on a short leash and, you know, were asking so much of him. And he had a vision. I think he was a great director. He wasn't great with actors, but he was like a good director. He had this vision and he wanted it. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember him moving the mushrooms around that were by me for that scene. And, you know, he wanted everything placed a certain way and shot a certain way. So he definitely had a vision.
Who would you say, just because you said, you know, he was a good director but not good with actors, who would you say is the best director that you've worked with actors?
Oh, boy. It's not John Landis. let's see, who is it?
I hope there's a good one.
There are good ones. There's so many that it's hard to... Christopher Forbes, it's low budget, but he was really good.
Okay, I'm not familiar with him. Which movie was that?
Right. Oh, my God. What were the names of them? I can't remember the names. Colonel Steele. Oh, what was the name of that one? It was like Vampires or something like that.
Gotcha. Well, you've done a lot, so you get a pass.
I know, I get a pass.
So when did you realize how popular Return of the Living Dead was? Did you have an aha, eureka moment with it?
Yeah, when I went to a convention and people came out of the woodworks wanting my autograph, I was so shocked. I got scared and I hid in the bathroom. That was my moment where I was like, wow, people like this film. I was like, you know, like not used to that. And it was like, oh my God, I had to go like compose myself.
How long have you been doing horror conventions? Like, I have not been that involved with horror conventions myself.
Man.
But have you been doing them since the 80s and 90s?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
When they first, like, when I went right after Return of the Living Dead Return of the Living Dead, and I've been doing them ever since.
It's like horror fans and sci-fi fans are some of the most committed fan bases there are.
They are. They're really great people. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Selenea, one of my most watched movies of all time, especially as a kid, going into the video store, was Night of the Demons.
So, wow.
Yeah. I lived in the video store, just rented that movie all the time. So how did that opportunity come about for you?
Well, people remembered me from Return of the Living Dead, and they asked for me. So, you know, I got an audition. And I wasn't going to go because I was like, no, I'm not a teenager. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go the rejection and everything, you know, like, oh, you're too old for this part. So my manager at the time had to convince me many times to go. And I didn't know that I already had it. And I finally went to the audition and got it. I was like, so glad I went.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to go. Because, you know, when you're an actor, you get rejection. You're too old. You're too skinny. You're too heavy. You're too this. You're too that. You know, so I almost didn't go.
Well, trust me, my younger self is very glad you did.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
So how much time did you spend in makeup for that movie to go full demon mode?
Oh, geez. That was like 12 hours.
Oh, my God.
It was like, it was really bad. I remember just like wanting to claw my face off because it's like, I hate prosthetics on my face. It was like, you know, they would, you know, put on all that latex, which I can't stand the smell of anymore. And, you know, and then paint it. And it was just like agonizing. And then the contacts and the teeth. And it was like, it was horrible. I'm not a prosthetic makeup wearer.
Yeah, I could imagine how horrible that would be. Was Amelia Kincaid has a dance scene in that movie as well. Did you give her any trash secrets?
No, I didn't. She was a dancer, so she had tons of, you know, secrets.
Gotcha. So I wanted to ask you, Linnea, out of all your roles, which would you consider the most challenging? Is there one that you lost sleep over more than the others?
Let's see. Well, I'm trying to think. I lost sleep over all of them because most of them are night shoots.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was like, you know, you get done at 6 a.m. and drive home in traffic and then, you know, have to be back at 5 going in traffic. So it's like, you know, until they're done, you don't get much sleep.
Right. And was there that, you know, as a fan of the horror movies and such from the 80s, you always hear, speaking with actors, that there was almost a certain stigma around the horror movies. It's like, oh, you don't want to do that. You'll be stuck doing horror movies forever. Was there any of that present for you?
Oh, yeah. It was people would be like, oh, you're doing those kind of films.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, it was like not acceptable to do those. And now it is. It's like really cool to do them.
Yeah. So what would you say is the best acting advice you've received and who gave it to you?
I gave it to myself. Just do what you feel is right, you know, and,
right.
And everything is an opportunity to learn.
So, Linnea, have you ever had an experience that you would consider supernatural or paranormal? Or if you don't like those words, maybe an event that you can't explain.
Oh, let's see. I read tarot cards, and it's like, that is unexplained. Like, how I come up with certain things. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't explain it. It's just weird.
Just how on the nose sometimes it is?
Yes.
So just to put a bow on everything here, Linnea, what's on the horizon for you? You got any conventions coming up or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I just did San Antonio, which was really fun with the Return of the Living Dead people. And I'm going to do, with Michelle Brink and Patty Mullins, one in Colorado Springs, 6 Feet Under, which is going to be really fun in a couple weeks. And then I go right to Salem, which is one of my favorite places to go.
Oh, yeah.
To do the Salem Horror Fest. I love Salem.
I've never been, but I've heard it was good.
It's a great place. You've got to visit.
You've
got to visit.
I definitely will. Well, Linnea, I don't want to keep you all afternoon here. I know your internet's cutting in and out here, but thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for giving me some of your time, Linnea.
Thanks for doing a podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a great rest of your day, and I appreciate you, and thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, folks, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Linnea. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you back next time.
Monsters, madness, and magic.
'Welcome to the night. You think you know Night Demon? Then the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast is for you. Step into the darkness as we peel back the curtain to give you an unprecedented, all-access look into the mind and the heart of the demon. We're talking band history, song analysis, studio anecdotes, stories from the road. It's everything a diehard Night Demon fan could want and more. This is the only place to learn the inside scoop, the deep dive trivia, the untold tales from the band members themselves and those closest to the Night Demon story. Need more? The sacred Night Demon crypt will be pried open to reveal demo recordings that have never before seen the light of day, all with in-depth commentary by the band and the people who were there for the writing and recording process. This is a gold mine, a treasure trove of all things Night Demon. Head over to nightdemon.net or wherever you listen to podcasts.